This is the It Factor of Professional Wrestling, Bobby Roode, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
They think they got the answers. I change the question.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
These are the best in the world, brother. These are the best at what they do.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
Another wrestling podcast.
Another wrestling podcast. Now can you dig that, sucker?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another wrestling podcast. This is episode number 91. I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And I'm Steve Credo.
We are getting ready. We're getting excited. We're getting pumped.
Yes.
This weekend is the weekend.
Global Force Wrestling is coming to Poughkeepsie.
It's coming to our backyard, January 22nd. For all of you that have been listening for so long, thank you for going out there, purchasing your tickets. You can get them at Ticketmaster.com for the Mid-Hudson Civic Center. And that is assuming that they haven't all sold out today. So we will be there live, and we're ready to see you guys. We're ready to answer your questions during our live Q&A. That's only available if you purchase your VIP experience. And why the hell wouldn't you buy that experience?
That's right, Jonathan. You get early entry. You get free autographs from all the superstars. You get to see a special Q&A hosted by us. What more could you ask for? I don't know any other place that does this, to where, you know, for a VIP experience, you get to be let in early, and you get free autographs from everybody. So that's a win-win right there.
Not to mention that you get to meet a lot of people that may not be back here for a while. You get to see Jeff and Karen Jarrett. You get to see Bobby Roode, Colt Cabana, Magnus, Mickey James, Amazing Red, Brian Myers. Do I need to go on?
Yes, keep going.
Okay, you get to see Christina Von Erie. You get to see Kimber Lee. You get to see PWS guys, which I know they're pretty much local too. So you get to see Pat Buck. You get to see the Heavenly Body, the new Heavenly Bodies. You get to see the Reynolds Brothers, and so many more.
Jonathan, I'm excited. You know, at Poughkeepsie, it's the capital of professional wrestling, and that's how we're going to keep it. I can't wait for GFW to come out here tonight. We're excited. But guys, if you're listening to the show right now, make sure to head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Check out all the other shows that we've done throughout the past 2 years now, Jonathan. We're on 91 episodes.
And joining us today on the show is one half of Beer Money, Bobby Roode. You've seen him on TNA. You're going to see him this week, tomorrow, at Poughkeepsie, facing Nick Aldis for the GFW Championship. So stay tuned. He'll be on the show in a little bit. And as a little preview for next week, Cody Deaner is going to be stopping by just for a few minutes to talk about Global Force Wrestling. He's going to be on next week's show. But before he is on next week, he's here this week to talk about Global Force Wrestling, Poughkeepsie, and a little bit more. So stay tuned for that one as well.
I just start to think back a little bit about, like, where we came from. You know, in the beginning we started this, and I really think that you should go back. You kind of get a better sense of what we're trying to do. When we first started this, we just were friends that wanted to kind of talk about wrestling. And now, you know, it's good for us. We get to work with a lot of great promotions. We get to help them out. They help us out. And it's just a win-win. So we definitely appreciate all the listeners, all the support, and keep listening. We have a huge 100th episode coming up very shortly.
That's right, Jonathan. But speaking of wrestling, one of the biggest things to start off 2016 happens to be the Royal Rumble, Jonathan. Jonathan, it's the one thing I think everybody looks forward to every January, besides, you know, getting close to the Super Bowl. This is the Super Bowl kind of wrestling. It's a beginning on its way to the Super Bowl of wrestling, on its journey to WrestleMania, but it's the Royal Rumble, Jonathan. I'm excited for the Rumble. I can't wait. They could just skip to the Rumble match itself and let us see it.
Yeah, you know, the Royal Rumble was always confusing to me because it has to do with royalty, but yet we have the King of the Ring. There's been a lot of royalty in wrestling. We've got King Jerry Lawler, King Booker, we've got the King of Hearts, Owen Hart. We've got, you know, it's just been King Harley Race, King Haku. King Hacksaw Jim Duggan, even. But
Stephanie McMahon's theme song is like "Welcome to the Queendom."
Yeah, see, there's a lot of a lot of royal things happening in the WWE. But regardless, the Royal Rumble happens every year. My favorite pay-per-view, hands down. I love WrestleMania, and I think it's amazing. But
you're telling me Fastlane is not your favorite pay-per-view out of the whole year?
No, it is not. I apologize, but no, I think it's an amazing pay-per-view. I like whenever they used to do the old school, like, promos in the beginning, where it would be like all the guys would come on, yes, and they would say like, "I'm Hacksaw Jim Duggan and I'm gonna mess you all up," and then like it would be like Jake the Snake and he would say something about don't trust the snake, and then, you know, it would go to Ravishing Rick Rude and he would make kissy faces at the screen. But regardless, I am pumped for this year. It's one of the only years in which the World Heavyweight Championship is actually on the line in the match. So,
and that the last time it happened for that was what, 92? Those are the for Flair, right? Flair won that.
Yeah, Flair won the. I think that was 91.
91. It's in the 90s. It's 2016 right now. Excuse me if I mispronounced the 90 year. So.
Yeah, well, whatever.
But yeah, Jonathan, it is exciting. Before we get to the present, you know, you mentioned Roman Reigns. Before we get to that, the last time this kind of stipulation happened was at the 92 Royal Rumble, where Ric Flair actually defeated 29 other superstars.
Absolutely. And that was one of the most emotional moments, because that was when Ric Flair had came over from WCW. And, you know, it was setting up for what I thought was going to be an awesome match. It was going to be Hogan versus Flair. But it ended up at WrestleMania 8 in Indy, that's not what happened. So you had a double kind of main event. But regardless, Ric Flair won. And if you watch that promo afterwards, it's him and Mr. Perfect in the back, and he's getting interviewed, and he says, "With a tear in my eye, this is the greatest day of my life." And so it was really awesome. You should definitely go back and watch that.
Now, I'll tell you something right now. As a kid, I honestly didn't really like Ric Flair then. When he won, I think I was more upset that Ric Flair won that Royal Rumble than when Hogan lost to Warrior. It was one of those things I was like, who is this guy? He just came over from WCW or whatever. I kind of knew what WCW was, and I was like, who is this? I don't want him to win. So I think I was a little pissed off kid.
He literally came in at number 3 and stayed in for 59 minutes and 26 seconds. That is it's amazing. So,
wow.
You know, it was a star-studded Royal Rumble with the likes of everybody from Shawn Michaels to the Texas Tornado, Big Boss Man, Piper, you name it, they were in it, and Virgil.
Now, Jonathan, the Royal Rumble, I think the biggest thing that everybody loves, or at least that I love, is the surprise appearances.
Yes.
They're, you know, you usually know who's going to be in the Royal Rumble, but you never know who's going to be in the Royal Rumble. I think going even back to last year when we saw Bubba Ray Dudley come out, that was totally a surprise. I mean, Chris Jericho kind of tries to surprise us every few months, but I'm kind of sick of Chris Jericho's surprises. So I like when it's somebody outside of the box, somebody different. You know, so just seeing Bubba Ray last year, I think, was probably the biggest surprise of them all. And then Diamond Dallas also surprised recently. You know, was there anybody that came out as a surprise that really surprised you?
It was a couple years back and there were rumblings of it happening that day, but it was still awesome to see, and that was when Kevin Nash came back a couple of years ago.
Diesel.
Yeah, he was Diesel, and he came out, and everybody gave him, like, an amazing ovation, and so I was just happy for him, and, you know, he did great, he looked great, and I thought it was awesome. Probably the funniest thing I can think of is Royal Rumble 2012, when Del Rio's music hit. And Ricardo came out in like an old Ford Fiesta, and he like had like underwear on and like a little scarf. It was very ridiculous. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's probably one of the funnier moments. But him and Foley, I think, were in the ring at the same time, and it was pretty ridiculous. But
I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to think about all the Royal Rumbles in the past in my head, at the top of my head, without even Googling it. 2 years ago, Jonathan, I think one of the funniest things that happened was, you know, everybody wanted Daniel Bryan in the Royal Rumble. Everybody wanted Daniel Bryan to win the Royal Rumble. You know, it didn't happen. And, you know, we're counting down to who'd be number 30. Everybody was hoping somehow it would be Daniel Bryan, and it wasn't. It was Rey Mysterio, and he got the shit booed out of him. I thought that was so funny because it was like, all you got to do is listen to the fans. Do it the, you know, and poor Rey Mysterio is back there being like, no, please, why do I have to go out there right now? And just the crowd reaction to him coming out to boos was hysterical. Because it was not necessarily that they're booing Rey Mysterio. It was just they're booing that they wanted to see Daniel Bryan and he wasn't in it.
Yeah, and, you know, the Royal Rumble is always amazing for, you know, surprises, people coming back or whatever. We mentioned it in the last episode. I was actually live for the Royal Rumble 2008. That was my very first Madison Square Garden event that I attended. And not only did that Royal Rumble see John Cena return, but we saw some amazing surprise entrants. And two of those were Superfly Jimmy Snuka and Rowdy Piper. And it was amazing because I remember people in the ring like Batista and CM Punk and even John Morrison, and they were all there. And once Piper got in, everybody was like, holy crap, I can't believe Piper's in the ring. Then Snuka came out, and then they all just kind of sit there and watched as those two went at it. It was like it was like time stood still, and everybody just wanted to see those two go at it, and it was amazing.
That's right. So, guys, if you're listening to, let us know what your favorite Rumble moment was. I think the best way you could do that is just tweeting us at @AWrestlingPod or Facebook us at Another Wrestling Podcast. Let us know what your favorite Royal Rumble moment of the past was. Now, Jonathan, one of our listeners actually emailed us, Alan Ramsdell. He asked, you know, he says, what if Shawn Michaels botched the spot in the 1995 Royal Rumble and was actually eliminated, leaving the British Bulldog to win? Do you remember this one, Jonathan?
Yeah, it was 95, like you said, and he tried to skin the cat, and he got thrown over, and he had like 1 foot touched, but the other one didn't. But it would have been very easy for him to have dropped on the floor.
And so, real quick, Alan is saying, you know, how do you feel history would have played out? The same, or would it be different? Do you think Vince McMahon would have booked the match in order for Shawn to still go into Mania as number one contender? And would fans be behind Bulldog as number one contender or champion at the time?
That's an awesome, like, what if.
Yeah.
And I think that, to be completely honest, British Bulldog was in there and he lasted that long because I think that they wanted him to be, like, to show as a strong, maybe like a number two or an up-and-comer or whatever. I remember it, you know, Shawn Michaels went over, British Bulldog's music started playing, he was flexing, whatever, then Shawn Michaels threw him over and actually won the Royal Rumble. Had Shawn actually been eliminated, I don't know that Vince would have went on to have him go. I think that it would have probably been like, I can't believe that you went over. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I would have said the first thing in my head in Vince mode, I think we can call it, would have been, you know, just have him crawl back in there. We never saw it. The refs didn't see it. It didn't count. And then it would have just been some kind of conspiracy theory that he won, but he didn't win. But you know what I mean? So just to fix it, I don't know. I you know, there would have to be some kind of a match or something.
I think one of the coolest things that actually happened out of this is it really started to like stretch the confines of what it means to have like both feet touch the floor, because from now on, you know, like you've got like Kofi Kingston, you've got John Morrison, you've got all these amazing moments that you can basically trace back to like
this moment.
Yeah, you have like the genealogy of this moment. Like, you know exactly how it happened, and it's all thanks to, you know, Shawn Michaels. But I think British Bulldog definitely had the power and the star power back then, that had Shawn Michaels been eliminated or both feet touched the floor or whatever, that you could have ran with Bulldog having a good run at the championship, especially like with his history with Bret Hart and, you know, all of that, like the Wembley Stadium. Yeah. Like, I think it would have been fine. I think that they were really wanting to move in the direction of Shawn Michaels at the time. But and I don't know that Bulldog had the charisma.
Yeah, he has the strength, he has the wrestling, but I don't think he could pull off the kind of stuff that Shawn Michaels was doing, especially on the mic. you know, it was one of those things. You don't have to be a good talker all the time, but you, as long as you look good and, I guess, have the muscles for it, you're fine. But, I mean, thanks, Alan, for emailing us too, guys. If you head on over to our website, Another Wrestling Podcast, you could shoot us a message or just email us, anotherwrestlingpodcast@gmail.com. We'll answer any questions you want, but the best way is social media. It's easier. But thanks, Alan, for, you know, hey, it's, he wanted to know, and we answered it for him. So you never know. It is the Royal Rumble show, right?
But right now we have Cody Deaner joining us briefly to talk a little bit about Global Force Wrestling.
Today we have a first on the show. We would like to welcome a longtime veteran in the wrestling business, a former TNA wrestler, and most recently a member of the Global Force Wrestling roster. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Cody Deaner.
Hey guys, are you guys going to dub over like a big pop, like a Road Warrior pop? Can you guys do that?
Absolutely.
So after you see my name and before I start talking, you can kind of have like a huge pop.
Of course.
Like the one I actually get when I come to the ring.
Yes.
Put that in and then we're good to go. Thanks for having me, guys.
So how's everything going? You're a busy guy. You're doing interviews all over town and getting pumped for this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool, guys. Like right as 2015 was coming to a close, I decided I'm gonna really put myself out there in 2016. I'm just gonna go for it. I'm gonna put myself out there. I'm gonna put the real me out there, and I'm gonna branch out. And I created a video that's up on my YouTube channel, which is official Cody Deaner. I'll be my first of many cheap plugs, guys. So be ready. you go to my YouTube page, which you can access through CodyDeaner.com. And I created a video and put it up saying I wanted to get a shot to show the world what I can really do in the ring, because I feel like with my TNA stuff and things I've done before that a lot of fans haven't actually seen what I'm capable of doing. So I created a video and I wanted to get a shot with Global Force Wrestling. And I was within 5 days, Jeff Jarrett responded to it and asked, you know, his followers what they thought. And within 6 days, I was booked for the show in Poughkeepsie. Wow. So I was very blown away by the response that I got from my fans and the support from my fans. And then really blown away by how quick Jeff Jarrett and Global Force responded to it. It was pretty cool.
Definitely. Now, why was it so important for you to join the force, so to speak?
I've been following what Jeff has been doing with Global Force since he, you know, announced that he was leaving TNA, and then we found out that he was doing this this new venture, starting from ground zero. Everything that he would say about it really caught my attention. His vision for the company was really getting my attention, and which is why I spent so much of my own time creating the video and really reaching out to them, because I liked everything that Jeff had to say. He was saying things like that they're not going to ignore wrestlers' histories. So a guy is going to come into GFW and they're going to recognize that he's a champion in other promotions. They're going to recognize that he is actually a wrestler outside of Global Force Wrestling. And not all companies do that. Most companies don't. They think of themselves as a separate entity in a separate bubble. And you come in and you're kind of starting from scratch and your history is ignored. In Global Force Wrestling, your history isn't ignored. It's actually the opposite. They hype your history as opposed to try to hide it. So that really caught my attention, because I've been wrestling for 15 years and I have won many titles and, you know, gained fans all over Canada and North America, and that won't be ignored with Global Force Wrestling. And also the other thing that caught my attention was Jeff Jarrett has said that in Global Force Wrestling, they're not going to try to create stories. They're simply going to document stories. And that's really what kind of got me thinking about my video that I created was, instead of me trying to kind of create this crazy promo video of this fictional Cody Deaner character and, you know, what he does in his trailer park and yada, yada, yada. Instead of doing that, I decided I'm just going to document the reality of it. The fact that I'm a wrestler that's been wrestling for 15 years, busting my butt, have a huge following in Canada, but the world, I don't have a following worldwide. And the world only knows me as, you know, a comedy wrestler from TNA. And I'm going to change that perception. I am a kid that did grow up in a trailer park town and worked on a farm and have redneck roots. So I'm going to talk about the reality of that too. So the fact that Global Force wants to document those stories, man, it's right in line with what I want to do personally. So they lined up perfectly. I know Jeff from my TNA days. So, man, I just felt like the time was right, and apparently it was, because they responded real quick.
Now, what's awesome about this is you've actually kind of worked with Jeff before, I'm assuming, in TNA. So are you excited to get back into a working relationship with Jeff Jarrett?
Yeah, very excited. He was a huge supporter of mine when I got signed. Showtime Eric Young really helped me get my foot in the door with TNA and kind of crack the door open for me. And then I was able to kind of push it open myself. And one of the guys that was really, really liked my character and liked what I had to offer was Jeff. We stayed in touch a little bit over the years, but, you know, nothing super solid, you know. We're not good buddies or anything, but I stayed in touch and tried to maintain that relationship as best I could over the years. But when this Global Force wrestling stuff was started, you know, I'd reached out to him and stuff, but nothing was set in stone, and he had other guys that he was wanting to use. And I decided I'm going to do a hard sell on this one. I'm going to do a hard push, and I'm going to ask my fans to help me, which I've never done before. I've never kind of done a viral campaign or something where I've asked my fans to, you know, beg a promoter on my behalf to try to get booked or something. Sure. And I didn't want to come across like I was begging, you know. I asked my fans, you know, just please just retweet this, support me, let them know what you think of me, good or bad. And I didn't have any bad. It was all positive. I was really surprised. Man, my fans really came, you know, came to my support and behind me, and they hounded Jeff Jarrett enough that within 5 days, maybe he just thought, oh, I want to stop getting people to stop freaking tweeting me, and yeah, okay, I'll book the guy. And it definitely helped that he, you know, we had a little bit of a history and knew who I was, and we'd been in touch, so that helped. But really, my fans really helped me get a booking. It was pretty cool.
Great. So this Friday, you know, you're going to be a part of the Amp Tour live in Poughkeepsie, New York. What are you hoping to show the New York area fans, as well as maybe the higher-ups in GFW, you know, this Friday?
Yeah, I want to change people's perceptions of me. There'll be people that have never seen me and don't know who I am at all. And so I'll get to start from scratch with them, and they'll be able to see me as the ass kicker that I am, the guy that's working hard and trying to have the best match in the show. They're just going to see a really good match. We're going to work really hard to entertain them. The people that have never seen me are going to see that, but the people that do know me or know a little bit about me, maybe a lot of them in that area, maybe only know the funny comedic Cody Deaner character from TNA, the guy that was supposed to pretend he was a wrestling fan and didn't know how to wrestle. So I'm trying to get rid of that perception that I'm not a guy that can't wrestle. I very much can. I've been wrestling main event matches for, well, 15 years now. So I'm hoping to change the perception of some, and also build a new fan base for myself too. And hopefully, as I do that, I'm also going to impress the GFW management at the same time.
Awesome. Now you're wrestling Henry Maxwell on Friday. Do you have any prior knowledge of this gentleman, or is this the first time you're having a run-in with him?
It's the first time I ever had a run-in with him. I did my my research on the guy. I will say when I saw the lineup and saw who I'd be wrestling, I did do a quick Google search and saw a couple interesting YouTube videos of Henry Maxwell's work. So that's all the knowledge I have. I just did a quick search of the guy to see who is this guy I'm wrestling. And yeah, I've never had a run in with him before. Have you guys seen him? And have you guys run into this guy before?
Same as you. So it's going to be a treat really for all of us, because I don't know a lot about this gentleman.
Yeah, I don't either. And not to say that he's a nobody. I mean, it looks like he's wrestled in a lot of really good promotions, and he's got to be good if GFW booked him. So I'm sure he's good. He's entertaining. He's a great talent. So I'm looking forward to working with him.
Once again, thanks to Cody Diener for stopping by. Everybody listening, you can check him out on next week's show for a full interview with Cody. Great guy. Glad that he stopped by, and I wish him nothing but the best. And joining us in the studio right now, we have Bobby Roode. I'm off the chain. Time to go against the grain. Joining us on the show today is one of the best wrestlers in the world. He is a multi-time TNA heavyweight champion, a multi-time TNA tag team champion, as well as a member of the GFW roster. You can see him this Friday and Saturday as a part of the GFW Amp Tour. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Bobby Roode.
How you doing, guys?
Now, we're going to have to begin this interview by talking about Global Force Wrestling. How is it that you got involved with this awesome promotion?
Well, it actually started, with Jeff Jarrett. I've known Jeff for over 12 years, and he was the guy that really gave me my start in this business and gave me a platform to become who I am today in the wrestling business. So I owe a lot of gratitude to Jeff. And when he started GFW, I was always as a friend supported him and the company, and when TNA allowed me to do his shows and to be a part of the GFW events, both the AMP TV tapings that they had in Vegas late last year, and of course with these two live events in Poughkeepsie and in Rahway, I've jumped at the opportunity. Anything I can do to help Jeff, I'm going to do it.
Great. Now, this Friday, January 22nd, you'll be a part of GFW's first ever Northeast Tour, live from the Mid-Hudson Civic Center. You'll be taking on GFW Global Force Champion Nick Aldis. You've wrestled Nick before. What do you think it'll take to walk away with the victory here?
Well, Nick and I have, we're in TNA together as well. When, Nick came in, he's a younger guy, I have a little bit of experience on him, but Nick is a great competitor, and he's a champion there for a reason. So, I'm going to be prepared to come in and represent TNA Wrestling and try to take that Global Force championship away from Nick and take it back home to TNA.
Awesome. Now, the very next night, you'll be facing PWS's own Dan Math. How familiar are you with him, and are you worried about the other PWS wrestlers getting involved in your match?
I don't think so. I don't know a lot about Dan. Obviously, he's got a little bit of experience, and I look forward to the challenge. But at the end of the day, guys, I'm a TNA wrestling guy. I'm not so much affiliated with GFW. So I'm not too concerned about anybody getting interfered in my match. And I think a lot of the guys from PWS will have a lot of respect for me and what I've done in the business, I hope. And I hope that night we have a good time, and we'll see what happens in the outcome.
All right. Now, Bobby, you've had a very humble you've had very humble beginnings in the world of pro wrestling. You know, you spent a lot of time traveling around and learning your craft right up until probably the remnants of the territory system closed down. Do you think wrestlers who are starting out today and traveling around the independent circuit are getting as much knowledge that you did when you began?
I don't know. I'm kind of out of the loop as far as you know what's out there for guys to go work as far as an independent scene and to their learning from. Like you said, I was able to catch on near the ending, the dying days, I guess, of the territories. I got to work a little bit in Puerto Rico. I got to work in the eastern part of Canada at a very historic wrestling promotion for Grand Prix Wrestling for Emile Dupree, where I got to learn from a lot of old-time guys. I like to say old-time guys, but guys that were in the business years before me. And, you know, it wasn't learning, you know, so much in the ring with them. It was learning outside the ring, you know, on the long road trips and at the restaurants, at the truck stops, at dinner. You know, you just pick their brains and you try to learn from them that way. And I'm not sure if that's available nowadays. I hope it is. I mean, because it really benefited me, you know, in the long run. And you know, so I'm not too sure. I mean, I hope that's the case. And if it is the case, and there is you know, some veteran minds and stuff in the locker room, I hope that the younger guys are taking that to their advantage.
Awesome. Now, when you first started wrestling, there's a lot that goes into it. You know, you have to figure out what you're going to try to look like, you know, your style. What was the most difficult part for you to grab a hold of? Because, I mean, obviously you're one of the best wrestlers in the world today, and for someone who's listening to this, like, just to make them know that it's okay that you even struggled with something.
Yeah, I mean, I struggled with trying to find an identity, you know. One of the things, going back to the previous question, you know, what do I learn from you know, the veterans that I got to work with in my earlier years? It's finding out and learning, you know, eventually. It took me a while, but less is more, you know, and sticking to the two or three things in every match that you do that people can recognize and that you're really good at. And, you know, I try not to, you know, nowadays I try not to do anything that is kind of out of my realm and that I'm not good at. I try to stick to the things that kind of brought me to the dance, so to speak. And once you're able to find your niche, I think things become a lot easier in this business. You know, promos was one of the things that I really had to work on. The athletic stuff and the in-ring stuff and the psychology and everything like that, it really came easy to me. I enjoyed studying psychology. I just enjoyed watching wrestling matches. So I would literally sit all day and just watch old wrestling tapes when I was first breaking in. But, you know, one of the things that I kind of struggled with was trying to come up with a character and trying to find an identity with where my promos kind of fit. So that was definitely a work in progress. And it really still is, you know what I mean? I always want to get my promos as best as possible.
Sure. Now, you know, looking throughout your entire career, who would you say has influenced your style as a wrestler the most?
Well, when I first started, obviously a guy that I looked up to was Curt Hennig. Mr. Perfect Curt Hennig was a guy that, I had got eight full-length DVDs of Mr. Perfect, starting out when his earlier days with his dad in the AWA and all the way up to his WWF stuff. So I watched hours and hours and hours and hours of him, and you know, as I studied more, I mean, I take a lot of pride in watching a lot of Arn Anderson stuff and Rick Rude stuff and just a lot of guys similar to that. I mean, obviously Rick Flair was a huge influence on me and just guys like that.
Now, it's no secret that you're Canadian. Why do you think so many amazing wrestlers and historic wrestling moments come from the Great White North?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I get asked that a lot. You know, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something in the water. I don't know. I mean, like you said, there's a lot of... I actually saw a list the other day of the top 25 all-time Canadian pro wrestlers, and there's a lot of talented guys and a lot of big names that were on that list. You know, I don't know what it is. That's a really tough question to ask. I mean, I think maybe just because we're so passionate about it. I'm not saying that the guys in the U.S. aren't passionate about it, but I think it just we stand out more because, you know, obviously with the television presence, it's more popular in the U.S., obviously, with, of course, with WWE anyways. It's, you know, when you're a Canadian guy in a U.S. company, I think it may stand out a little more. And then when companies come to Canada, it's not like they come to Canada every week. I mean, Monday Night Raw and, you know, the Impact tapings and stuff when we were on the road, they would be in cities in the United States. And when they come to Canada, I think they try to make it a little special. And I know that the Canadian fans are always amped up and excited when live wrestling and live television shows especially come to town.
Now, obviously, one of those historic moments was the infamous Montreal Screwjob. As a Canadian, how long did it take you to forgive everybody involved with that terrible thing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't, at that time I was almost getting ready to try to get into the business, and so I understood it, but I really didn't understand it, and, you know, I still have my, I don't know, it's a weird deal. For me, I'm really not sure really what happened that night. Only the people involved really know what happened. But, you know, I was obviously a shock. I talked to Jim Ross on his podcast not too long ago, and he asked me the same question. And I remember the exact day and exactly what I was doing and where I was when I watched that go down. And the next night, I actually went to the live Raw in Ottawa, Ontario. So I was heavily involved in wrestling at the time, you know, as a fan. So. It was definitely probably the most shocking moment that I can ever remember in pro wrestling.
Sure. Now, Bobby, you are without a doubt probably one of the greatest wrestlers in the world today. Now, is that hard for you to see that yourself, or are you a fan of your own work? You know, I always ask this, or if I ask an actor a question to where, do you watch your own movies? You know, it's kind of like that same question. I mean, do you watch your own stuff? Are you critical of your own work, or?
No, absolutely. I always watch my stuff. I always make sure that I watch my stuff and I watch everybody else's stuff as well. I think that's how you get better, and that's you know, the only way that you can continue to improve in this business. If you didn't watch your own stuff, or if you didn't watch other guys or other matches or even other companies, that's the part of the passion that I have for the business, you know. And if you don't have that, maybe, I don't know. I think that kind of makes guys that are like me a little better, more passionate, I guess, is the word I'm talking and trying to find. But I always watch myself, and I try to watch it by myself. I don't make a big presentation out of it. I don't sit around with friends or family and then watch my stuff. I usually will watch it, and then I'll tape it, and then I'll rewatch it, and I'll rewatch it again from different angles, and just see the stuff that I may have done really good, and then pick apart the stuff that I did really bad, and then take that forward and learn from it, and try to hopefully continue to get better.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the world of professional wrestling, there's some things that are consistent, some things aren't. But in recent years, it seems like fans of wrestling, call them smart marks or internet wrestling fans or whatever, one of the things that seems consistent is they like to complain about TNA. Do you have any idea as to why you think fans spend so much time criticizing the product? I mean, if you start to look back, and we do this quite often, TNA has produced some really amazing things. I mean, great champions, people that went on to go to WWE and all that stuff. Why do you think that fans just seem to have targeted TNA to complain about?
Well, I think, it's just part of being an internet, as you say, the internet wrestling fan. They have nothing really better to complain about. Maybe they're just impatient, you know, when you think about it. I mean, TNA's been in existence for 13 years, and in those 13 years, we've done a lot as a company, you know, to be able to grow as a television product from going from, the weekly pay-per-views on Wednesday nights to a late-night one-hour show on Fox Sportsnet to Spike TV, you know, to our international growth. When you think about it that way, I mean, the company itself has grown leaps and bounds compared to, I mean, WWE has been around for decades, you know, to get to the point that they're at. And, you know, they're obviously, you know, TNA has had a bit of a black cloud over them, and You know, whether it's the fans view it as you know, just a smaller company that you know, obviously with when you look at WWE, they travel to do their televisions. Their television tapings are live every week. With Monday Night Raw, you know, their pay-per-views, they have their own network. So I don't know if wrestling fans are just trying to compare us to WWE, which, I mean, you really can. I mean, we're a wrestling product that it's a smaller wrestling product. We have television. We tape our televisions, and we don't necessarily travel all around every week to do it. I mean, it's just not possible to do that right now financially for the company. But at the same time, it's a good wrestling product. I mean, we have a lot of guys and girls in our locker room that are some of the top wrestlers anywhere in the world. And we go out there every week and we work our tails off to try to do what, you know, what we're told to do and to try to perform to the best of our ability and give the fans a great wrestling show. So as far as the fans and what they think, we can't change what they think. We just hope that they can tune in every week and watch our show and see, you know, the talent and the effort that we're all putting out there.
Sure, definitely. Now, you're one of the TNA originals. You've been with the company for over 12 years now. What do you think the most important thing is that you've learned from your time in TNA?
It's kind of evolved, you know, as I've been there such a long time, like you said, 12 plus years. So, you know, when I first got there's a lot of veterans in the room. You know, that I kind of looked up to and was kind of, you know, surrounded myself with and learned from. And I've kind of maybe taken that role on a little bit more, you know, being there so long and having the experience that I've had and as a world champion in bigger matches and, you know, tag team champions and being able to travel and perform in front of larger crowds and being a part of the ups and downs, really, of this company. So I guess I've just taken on that kind of that veteran role, which is kind of cool. And you know, try to help as many of the younger guys that want the help that come to me. I try to help them as much as I possibly can.
Now, you know, TNA just kind of had another makeover. They're featured on pop television now, and there's some new talent that's coming in, and there's some talent that's been there for a while, but maybe aren't at the main event status right now. Do you see any specific people that you've worked with maybe or haven't got the chance to work with yet, but do you see like that they may become a big star in the future?
Well, I mean, there's you know, guys like, there's been guys there that have been there and they're just kind of, not, I don't want to say spinning their wheels, but are just trying to, getting their niche now, you know what I mean, and getting to showcase what they have. I mean, guys like Robbie Yee, who has been there for a while and was kind of stuck with that New Jersey type character for a while and kind of came into his own lately and has had a lot of great television matches. And, you know, a guy like Eli Drake, who's pretty new, and I got to work with on a couple of live events, who's super talented and has an amazing, you know, in-ring personality as well. So I think he's got a really, really bright future ahead of him as well. So there's a lot of guys, you know, a lot of guys that are set, you know, in the next little while to take on a more prominent role in the main event, hopefully. And, you know, Jesse Goddard is another guy that comes to mind. You know, he's got a great look, and I think with a little bit more experience, I think he's going to be a guy that people are going to be seeing in the main event scene as well.
Great. Now, on TV the other night, you had a Beer Money reunion. How does it feel to be back with James Storm, and are you guys going to be making a run for those tag team titles anytime soon?
Well, I think anytime you know, you're in a tag team situation, and I think that's the main goal, right? As I always said, you know, if you're not in this business to be a champion, you're in the wrong business, whether it's as a tag team or as a singles competitor. So obviously that's the goal. You know, James and I are just kind of getting reunited with each other now. So it's the first time we've been back together in over 5 years. And as everybody knows, the split wasn't the nicest type of split. We became bitter enemies, of course, for many years. And so we're just trying to find ourselves again and you know, really kind of connect and get the team rolling again. And obviously having tag team gold for a sixth time would be something pretty special.
Now, obviously you've worked with a lot of different people as far as tag team wrestling goes over the years, but you've had some really amazing partners in recent memory. What were some of the differences between working with James Storm and Austin Aries?
Well, two totally different wrestlers, really. I mean, Austin Aries is, is an amazing, amazing competitor. You know, a guy that he's a, more of a high risk guy. You know, a lot of not, I don't want to say high flyer. I hate using that term, but obviously, as a smaller guy, has to resort to different things as far as an offense. But James is more of a straight ahead guy. You know, punch kick, a brawler, barroom brawler. I like to call him. So. Two totally different guys, but two very good partners. Austin Aries, I have nothing but respect for him. You know, we had some amazing matches against each other for the world title a couple of years ago, some of my most favorite matches ever, and tagging with him was a joy as well. I think he's an amazing wrestler, and I think that we had a lot of really great chemistry together. Our matches with the Wolves that we had were right up there with, you know, the Beer Money Motor City Machine Guns matches we had a few years back, so... you know, Austin is off doing his own thing, and I wish him nothing but the best of luck. And right now, it's me and James. And you know, obviously, Beer Money is a very popular act with the fans, and hopefully, you know, we can continue to be popular, and the fans will enjoy the reuniting of Beer Money for a little while to come.
Sure. Now, Bobby, as you mentioned, you were a huge fan as a kid. Who were some of the biggest names that you got to wrestle throughout your career that you never thought you would have gotten to wrestle?
Well, if I'm going to be honest, I mean, there's many guys. I mean, thinking back of to when I was a kid, when I was watching wrestling, God, I mean, the first guy that comes to mind is Hulk Hogan. You know, to be an 8-year-old kid. Nine-year-old kid, you know, Saturday afternoons watching professional wrestling on TV, and being a little Hulkamaniac, I guess, you know, always watching Hulk Hogan, and basically, you know, Hulk being a hero of mine as a kid, to be able to step in the ring and at TNA, and at the time, you know, I was a world champion, so there's many times that him and I would stand in there and do a promo on television, and you know, just to be able to work with him was very exciting. I actually had an opportunity on our European tours when Hulk was with us to do a 6-man tag at the end of every show as a dark match with myself, Bully Ray, and Kurt Angle against James Storm, Sting, and Hulk Hogan. So that's definitely a career highlight for me, as well as, you know, obviously working with Kurt Angle and you know, Jeff Hardy and Sting, and I mean, there's lots of guys, the Steiner brothers. James and I got a chance to work with both of them. Of course, Scott was with us, but I mean, the names go on, Booker T. You know, there's just so many guys that I've had the privilege and the honor to be in the ring with. It's been pretty amazing.
Now, obviously, we are looking forward to Global Force Wrestling invading the Northeast here on January 22nd and 23rd. We know you're very busy, so we've just got a few more questions for you. But as you look into the future, you start to see that you've wrestled a lot of places. You've spent a lot of time in this career. Is there something that you have your eye on to do after you finish your in-ring career? Do you want to stay involved in wrestling, or do you want to get away from it totally, or what do you see for the future?
I haven't really put a lot of thought into it. I like to think that I have a few good years left in this business, but I don't know where I would be, really, without wrestling. I really feel like I've been put on this earth to wrestle and to maybe give back, I guess, what I know. Like I said earlier, I enjoy helping out the younger guys who want the help and come to me and ask me for some for advice. So I think staying in wrestling and you know, being a part of a wrestling product and helping, you know, in a backstage role or whatever it may be, is something that I probably would be interested in.
Sure. Now, Bobby, we talked a lot about wrestling today. Is there one thing, though, that Bobby Roode does outside of pro wrestling, you know, a favorite hobby of sorts that we might not know about?
I'm a big hockey fan. So, you know, being from Canada, I played hockey my entire life, and I played at a pretty decently high level until I was about 19 years old. And, you know, my son plays at a high level now, and he's 11 years old. So when I'm not on the road and I'm home, I've taken on a bit of a coaching role with the team, so it's fun to get back into the game. This is the first time I've ever been able to, you know, give back to the game of hockey, and you know, teach my son and be able to be with my son on the bench or on the ice during practice and stuff. So I enjoy hockey. I love watching hockey games. I go to as many NHL games as I can get to when time allows, and you know, just being around with my family. And I don't do a lot of stuff. I obviously go to the gym, and that's kind of my my quiet time. That's my me time, I guess, is when I go to the gym and work out. It's something that I've done even before I got into wrestling. So those are my hobbies and things that I love to do.
Awesome. Now, on our show today, we've been talking a lot about the Royal Rumble. As a fan of the business, you said you watch a lot of wrestling. Do you have maybe a favorite Royal Rumble or a specific Royal Rumble moment that you can think of?
Not really off the top of my head. No, not really. I mean, I watch the shows, but to be honest with you, they all kind of blend together.
Yeah.
You know, so there's nothing that really kind of sticks out. Obviously, you know, I was more of a fan and paid more attention watching to storyline stuff back, you know, when it was like Bret Hart was in the Royal Rumbles and, you know, the earlier days of the Royal Rumbles when I was a fan more so. Nowadays, I just watch because I have a lot of friends there. I watch just to kind of keep up with what's going on. Different times. I watch wrestling, obviously, being a fan, and I'm still a fan, but I'm also in the business too, so kind of watch it for two separate reasons.
Awesome. Great.
Now, Bobby, we thank you so much today. We really appreciate your time. Is there places where the fans can keep up with you on social media today?
Yeah, you could on Twitter at Real Bobby Roode. I have no Facebook. I have no Instagram. Just Twitter, so you can follow me there and obviously see everybody in Poughkeepsie and Rahway this weekend.
And once again, thanks to Bobby Roode. And wow. This Friday night is going to be awesome. Global Force Wrestling, Poughkeepsie, New York, Mid-Hudson Civic Center. You'll definitely see these guys out there. So make sure you have your tickets. If not, hey, get them out the door, right?
All right, Jonathan. Now let's fast forward. We talked a lot about the old Royal Rumbles and whatnot. So we're at Royal Rumble 2016. Right now, the Royal Rumble match itself, Roman Reigns is going to be fighting 29 other superstars. For the WWE Championship. Like we spoke on the last episode about injuries, what can happen in this Royal Rumble, Jonathan? There has to be something that big that happens. I have a few ideas, but I kind of want to hear what you have to say. We're heading towards WrestleMania 32 right now. What happened, Jonathan? Who's walking out the champion at the Royal Rumble?
Listen, this could go so many different ways. The safe bet is to say that Roman Reigns walks out the champion. He goes in the champion. He walks out the champion. That's the safe answer. I would like to see someone else win it.
Yeah.
You know, this would be Roman's. It would be back to back reigns. You see what I did there? Back to back reigns for Roman in the Royal Rumble. I would love to see, and I quote, anybody else win, not because I'm not a fan of Roman, but because I think it's time for, you know, just somebody else to win it.
I'm surprised that, you know, I would have thought Rumble maybe would have been the time for Roman to win the belts, or definitely this year. I'm surprised they gave it to him so early at the end of last year on Raw. But, you know, hey, I think they kind of just want to have him with the championship under his belt for a little bit. I think he is going to – I don't think he's walking out the winner this one, definitely.
I mean, obviously in the past we've seen surprise entrance. We've talked about that right now. So, I'm giving you the entire wrestling landscape right now. You know what's happening. You hear the rumors. It's buzzing. I want you to tell me three people that you think
are going to be
surprise entrance into the 2016 Royal Rumble.
Number 30 is going to be Triple H. Triple H is going to come out, and he's going to beat Roman Reigns. I'm really hoping for a Triple H to come out to win the championship and hold on to it till WrestleMania. Then I think that might even just lead to Triple H versus Roman Reigns for the WWE Heavyweight Championship. That's one. Okay. So Triple H. Number two, a surprise entrance. I'm definitely hoping we see AJ Styles. I would love to see AJ Styles come in. He doesn't need that little NXT entrance. I think he has such a big name. Everybody knows him. It's no secret out there that, you know, he's in talks. He signed. He may not have signed. He did something. Whatever. He's on his way to the WWE. What better entrance to have than AJ Styles? Obviously, he's not going to win. If he did win, that'd be even more of a surprise. But just to see him come in there, I'd love to see AJ Styles, a surprise entrant. And number three, another surprise entrant. If I had to pick one, I could have four, but I'll give you three. I think I would love to see... Finn Balor make a surprise entrance, especially in his body paint. You know, just as a quick appearance, a one-off, because I'm sure we'll probably see him on the main roster sooner than later. So I think a great spot would be for Finn Balor. So that's my three. Jonathan, come on, give us your three.
I'm not gonna piggyback what you said, but I think that we saw Vince McMahon in a referee uniform the other night.
Yep.
We hadn't seen that for quite some time. I think that we could see him, similar to what you're saying, screw Roman Reigns out of the title by being an entrant. Maybe his music hits. Maybe he doesn't even come out, but, you know, whatever. Now, keep in mind when I say these are ones that I think could happen, these aren't necessarily ones that I want to happen.
Okay.
There's a wrestler that we haven't seen in quite some time that usually it's not going to really make much of an impact, but I have a feeling that we may see the Great Khali.
Ooh.
All right. He's been out of the WWE for a while. He's been doing a lot of stuff in India for wrestling. I think he has his own wrestling school. I would not be surprised to see Great Khali, just for that like talk factor. He'd probably be, you know, trending worldwide. And lastly, it is one that I definitely want to see. We got last year during... you know, Jake the Snake Roberts made a big play to try to get back into the Royal Rumble one more time. I want to see him come back, and, you know, he deserves it. I think that, you know, he's had a lot of demons over the years. We spoke to him this past year, and we got to see the amazing resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts. It's an awesome movie. What better way to cap off his career? You know, he's never won the World Heavyweight Championship in WWE. You know, he's a Hall of Famer now. That's awesome. But, like, he really should get one last. Even if he comes in, does a couple DDTs, and someone gingerly throws him over the top, I'm fine with that. But I would love to see Jake the Snake. So my three, to recap, Vince McMahon, Great Kalala, and Jake the Snake Roberts.
Man, this Royal Rumble talk has me thinking of like all these other things now, because, you know, the last show we talked about injuries and then everybody who's out. Now I'm thinking, Jonathan, what if The Undertaker was number 30, throws Roman Reigns off, wins the championship, and then it's Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and then Reigns beats Taker and Taker retires?
Are we still talking, is this the injury episode again? Are we talking that? Because
I'm just thinking of like new situations of who could pop into the Royal Rumble. And like, well, we talked about last episode of like the injuries of who could, how do we fix who's out and whatnot. I don't know. There's so many possibilities that could happen at the Royal Rumble to make WrestleMania even better. It's amazing. It just makes you want to think more.
Here's one of my things is, you know, like we talk about, you're talking about The Undertaker. I'm going to talk about another supernatural wrestler, and that's Bray Wyatt. And I really enjoy Bray Wyatt's work. I like Bray Wyatt. The eater of jobs right now. He is not doing so great, but what better way to have him get back on the main event scene than winning this year's Royal Rumble? And here's how it happens. You know, he maybe enters at around 20 or whatever. He's wrestling Harper, Rowan, all those guys come out. The lights go out at like number 29, 30, whatever, and then the lights come back on, and it's only the Wyatt family in the ring. Like, they've eliminated everybody. Yeah. And then he just looks at the guys, and they, like, eliminate themselves. And crazy. Then he's the Royal Rumble winner.
That'd be cool.
I'm a big fan of Wyatt. I would love to see something like that happen. Whenever we rewind back to the Royal Rumble of 2016, I want to think about a big moment, yeah, a lasting exactly. moment, because this is really the huge setup for our main event at WrestleMania.
Yep.
So I want to see something big.
Two more, I think I'd even say it, surprise entrance, or just another moment I think would be really cool. Once again, Roman Reigns is pretty much eliminated everybody. It comes down to number 30. Number 30 music hits, and it's Brock Lesnar.
Brock!
Dun, 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 dun. And that's it, man. Brock wins the championship again, leading into Mania, and then he loses it at Mania again to maybe another Roman Reigns match. I don't know. I'm just thinking of possibilities. What could we do? What will actually happen? Maybe if this does happen, it'll be fun to talk about, but that's another thing. And then another entrant, I can't believe we haven't even said it, number 30, Daniel Bryan. Did I even say that before? I'm thinking it. Maybe I'm not. I'm just saying to myself. But that'd be another thing, you know, just another huge name, just to bring out there. I think we mentioned earlier, you know, like how what would these guys, you know, what would they be, or what should we do with them, or are they waiting too much on the injury list with him? You know, a surprise from him would definitely be awesome. So it's crazy. This is the Rumble, man. I don't care about any other match happening out there except for the Rumble match itself. So that's what it's for.
Yeah, and you know, it's going to be very interesting how this all plays out. WrestleMania this year, it's got to be huge. You've got so many people. A lot of things that people don't realize is sometimes feuds can start at the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
So I remember the great buildup for Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle for WrestleMania 21. That started at the Royal Rumble. You know, there's these moments where, if you remember too, like the whole thing about Shawn Michaels, he was trying to win the Rumble so he could go against Undertaker, and he gets eliminated. And then he's just like, so these are the moments that we're talking about. There's the WWE writing team has went under the gun a lot lately, but if there's a time to get it right, it is now. There's a lot of spoilers and rumors and stuff out there that would like to have, you know, AJ Styles and all those guys come in the ring. As awesome as that would be, I don't want them to actually like win the Rumble.
I think the best thing for them or anything like that, especially if they do enter the Rumble, would have just exactly what you said, is to set up a feud. So AJ Styles comes in and throws out, I don't know, Dolph Ziggler or Dean Ambrose or whoever, or Kevin Owens. It doesn't matter. Like, there's something that happens that leads to who's going to be feuding with or something. That's what you need out of that kind of a match. You know, something like that. So definitely be cool. There's so many things to happen, though. Everybody, what's one thing that you want to see? Let us know. Make sure you shoot us a message or something, and we want to hear from you, too.
Coming February 13th at 7 p.m., we have a WWE legend, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, doing his 2x4 tour in Poughkeepsie. Guys, laughitup.net for more information. And if you like our show, make sure to check out some of our friends. Check out Main Event Marks. Head on over to facebook.com/MainEventMarks. You can join Angry Cooter and his panel of smart Main Event Marks every Thursday at 9 p.m. for an uncensored show for the marks by the marks.
That's right, and we are here to spread the wealth. If you love professional wrestling, we urge you to go over to pwpnation.com. PWP Nation is a wrestling media website and community that loves professional wrestling. They strive on creating an array of interesting articles and reviews on everything professional wrestling. Head on over to pwpnation.com.
Also, be sure to head on over to ProWrestlingSheet.com. It launched in August of this year, and it strives to report on the stories you actually care about in the world of professional wrestling, not just clickbait filling most news sites. Founder and editor-in-chief Ryan Satin previously worked as a senior producer for TMZ.com, where he has helped the company become a force in wrestling reporting, largely in part to his exclusive stories he landed on a constant basis. Make sure you head on over to ProWrestlingSheet.com.
Well, that's the show. We want to thank you all for listening today.
Every week we do this show free of charge for you, the fans.
If you're wondering how to repay us, we have just the thing.
Subscribe to us on iTunes, and while you're there, be sure to rate us and give us a good review.
And if you're looking for more information about AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com.
We are all over social media, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and more.
And if you're an AWP super fan, you can go show your support by going over to prowrestlingtees.com. and buying one of our official AWP shirts.
We couldn't do this show without you, so tune in next week for
another wrestling podcast.